Well, we are 4 weeks into the summer sermon series. It's on sports in the Bible. And when I started this, it looked like there wasn't going to be any sports at all this summer. And little did I know that on the week that I'm going to preach on soccer in the Bible, that the very first American professional sports league to open up would be soccer. And this weekend, the National Women's Soccer League started having games, and Carolina beat Portland 2-1, in case you're interested, yesterday. So, you know, women's soccer has been growing in popularity ever since the past two World Cups that the U.S. won. And they've become such a dominant team that they've gathered a lot of attention. But before that, back in 2011, they did well, but they didn't win at all. But they did give us one of the greatest soccer plays in U.S. soccer history, and that was a header by Abby Wambach. Now, a header in soccer is when you strike the ball with your head instead of with your foot. So it's very easy to understand the concept. What's not easy to understand in soccer is how they keep time. Unlike basketball and American football, where the clock counts down and it stops when the ball's out of play, and then it starts counting again, and when you get to zero, the game's over. In soccer, the clock counts up, and it doesn't stop for the times when the ball is out of play. What happens is that the end of regulation time, then the referee decides how much additional time to add on to the clock to make up for the time that the ball was out of play and things weren't happening. So this additional time is added. And then there can be even more time added to the additional time if a team is just stalling, not really playing, but just kind of sitting on the ball and doing nothing because they have the lead. And that's what happened in 2011. The U.S. was playing Brazil. And Brazil was up by one. And they were just stalling, not really playing at all, and so the ref added some additional time to the stoppage time. And in that time, Brazil lost the ball deep in U.S. territory. A U.S. player made a long pass down the field. Another U.S. player made a long crossing pass to the front of the goal, and Abby Wambach was there 6 yards out. And the ball sailed over the heads of the defender, and she leaped, struck the ball with her head, and it sailed into the net. Nothing but net. U.S. went on to win that game in penalty kicks. And just as in basketball, one of the most exciting shots you can take is a last-second buzzer beater. Same way in soccer, one of the most exciting shots is to win in the last seconds by a header. Now you're thinking, I wonder where soccer shows up in the Bible. Well, the reality is that there is no soccer games in the Bible. But there is one famous header. And it's the header that Goliath took off of David. Now, if you've been a part of Sunday school, you probably learned the story when you're really young. You learned about David and Goliath. And it's really rather a strange story to be teaching to young kids because it's quite violent. But you know, I never really thought about that as a little kid because Goliath was always described as a giant. And giants were something of fairy tales. Giants climbed beanstalks, or giants canned peas. I mean, they were not real things. And so when, in my mind as a kid, Goliath being described as a giant, well, it just didn't seem that real. My son Lee starts this Sunday as a pastor at the Methodist Church in Blue Earth. And in Blue Earth, there stands the largest statue in the state of Minnesota. It's the statue of the Jolly Green Giant. 60 feet of green skin, leafy clothes, and size 78 shoes. And in my mind, that's what I kind of pictured as Goliath. except it wasn't green. And even the Sunday school materials made it look like that way. They would always have a perspective where David was, you know, this tiny little thing, and Goliath was so huge on the page. It made him look like he was the jolly green giant. And so that's the picture that I had in my mind, that Goliath was just a mean version of the jolly green giant. And maybe you had the same thing. Maybe you've had that kind of child's view of the story of David and Goliath. Well, if so, it's probably been a while since you visited the story. So let's go back and look at it and see what it really says in the Bible. It's chapter 17 of the book of 1 Samuel. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew their battle lines to meet the Philistines. The Philistines were at war with the Israelites at the time. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. With all the stuff that he had on, he stood 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor, a bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. And on his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. Excuse me. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and the iron point weighed 600 shekels. It's about 15 pounds. His shield bearer went ahead of him. And Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul?" That's the king of Israel. "Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, I'll become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you'll become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Goliath, with all his armor and weapons, was a big, scary guy. But notice that he's never called a giant. He's not a fairy tale. He's called a champion. He is the champion that challenges Israel. And the challenges that we face usually don't come with the name giant either. Now, the challenges that we face are very real, and they may feel like they're 9 feet tall or even 60 feet tall, but they have names like racism, learning disability, addiction, abuse, making ends meet, holding a marriage together, facing cancer, or COVID isolation. The challenges that we face, they're not green giants. They're very real. And just as real as the challenge that Goliath issued to Israel. So how do we face those real challenges? How do we deal with the giants in our lives? Well, maybe we can learn something from David in his encounter here. For the next 26 verses, and we're not going to read them all because it's a very long story, but Goliath is going out every day for 40 days, and he's issuing his challenge to the armies of Israel. And the people are terrified. No one will face him. And it's during this time that David's father calls David in from watching over the sheep to take some supplies to his brothers who are serving in the army. And when David is there, he overhears Goliath issue his challenge, and David is upset. He can't understand why nobody has gone to face him. Well, King Saul hears that David is asking these questions, and he thinks, well, maybe David could fight for him. So he invites David to come talk with him. But then he sees that David is he's barely more than a boy. He's got no experience in fighting. And Saul says, you can't do it. David tells him, look, when a lion or a bear has carried off one of my sheep, I go and I rescue that sheep. And the God who helped me to do that will help me to face Goliath. And so Saul, not wanting to go on his own, sends David in his place. And there's something that you should note that you probably haven't even seen before in the story. Because if you go way back to chapter 9, verse 2, it says that Saul, too, is kind of a giant. He stands a head above any other man. So he's head and shoulders above any other person there. And Saul, too, is a trained warrior. And Saul is the king. And so if anybody should meet the giant, it should be Saul. But instead, he passes that on to young David. And David's brothers, they are warriors as well. But they and the rest of the army are just paralyzed with fear. And they just hope it goes away. For 40 days, they just hope that the challenge goes away. We'll pick it up in verse 38. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic, put a coat of armor on him and bronze helmet on his head. And David fastened his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he wasn't used to them. I can't go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off, and then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in hand, approached the Philistine. Now Saul's armor wouldn't have fit even a normal person, but certainly not a young man like David. And David realizes that the way to win is not by being Saul. It's also not being like Goliath. He had his own strengths. And so he ran to his strengths. You know, we have a myth that in facing our challenges, of facing the big things in life, that we have to be somebody else in order to do that. That we can't face them as ourselves. And we look at the long list of things that we don't have. And so then often, like Saul in the army, we don't even face our challenges because we say, I can't be like them. I can't be like Saul. I can't be like the giant. I can't do it. But David puts what he has, his skill in throwing rocks, into the hands of God. And we can do the same. We can put what we have in God's hands. And we might find that it's enough. Verse 41. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. Goliath, as all good sports people does, he talks trash. He talks trash to David to get him to believe that he is not enough, to get him to doubt himself. He says to him, you are nothing. You're a loser. And that's what our challenges do. They say to us, you're nothing. You're nothing. You can't face me. And Goliath could have a lot of reasons that are true. Goliath is a trained warrior. David's a shepherd. Goliath is a huge man. David's a young guy. Goliath has a sword and spear and armor. David has 5 rocks. Goliath has a shield bearer, and David has nobody. Not one single person, not even his brothers, would carry a shield to protect him. If you were a betting person, you would definitely not bet on David. David is all by himself facing the biggest challenger any of them had ever seen. Except he wasn't by himself. He wasn't by himself. Goliath didn't know it. Saul didn't know it. His brothers didn't know it. But David knew it. David knew. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands." And he says later, "All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword and spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." What David knew and the others didn't is that he wasn't by himself. He didn't face the battle on his own. In fact, it wasn't even his battle. The battle is God's. And so he put himself in God's hands. And he faced Goliath. And now his famous header. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David delivers the header for the win. And sure, Goliath wasn't a 60-foot green giant. But the challenge was huge nonetheless. Just like the challenges that we face. They're big and they're real. So what can we learn? I think just quickly, three things that we can learn from David's story. Number one is, you don't have to be someone else to face your challenges. You can lean into your own strengths. You can face the challenges as the person you are. You don't have to be the king. You don't have to be Saul. You don't have to be a warrior. Take what you have, put it in God's hands. You can face your challenges. Number two, no challenge, no giant is too big. It's too big to face. So don't stay stuck like the Israelite army. Don't make others go fight your battles for you like Saul did. But face the challenges. Because none of them are too big, no matter what they tell you. And then number three, you can face all of those challenges because you never face them alone. God is with you, and the battle is the Lord's. Even if your brothers let you down and no one else will stand with you, God stands with you and will be there. And actually, the battle belongs to God. So there's three things that we can take away. And we can face those challenges, those giants in our life. Let us pray. God, there are people right now who are facing challenges that seem bigger than any 9-foot warrior, bigger than a 60-foot green giant. And yet we know, Lord, that these are not impossible odds, that these are not challenges that we cannot overcome, but we can face them because you are with us, because you are there and the battle belongs to you. So we put ourselves into your hands with whatever we bring. Whether it be something as small as 5 rocks, we put ourselves in your hands and trust in you. Enable us to face the challenges that are in front of us, whatever they may be. whether they be health, whether they be in our family, whether they be at work, whether they be in our nation, whether they be in our world. Lord, help us to face the challenges and know that the battle is yours. Amen.